Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Metroscope, an Entercom Portland Public Affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. Joining us this time on Metroscope is Audrey Daniel from Soul Equine. She's a holistic life coach and equine guided learning facilitator, and she loves Harry Potter, tea time, art, music, and animals of all kinds. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, favorite Harry Potter character. Got to get that one out of the way first.
That's impossible. I don't have a favorite character. Maybe Buckbeak, the hippogriff.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's really true.
That would have been a great one because it wasn't a human like we were all expecting.
Yeah, I didn't. That's why I didn't want to choose a human because I think it's too hard.
What's the name of? So yeah, it's Buckbeak. Yeah, that's the flying.
That's the hippogriff.
A hippogriff. That's right.
Because it's kind of like a horse.
Yeah, and it's Hagrid's pet for a while.
Yeah.
Right? What it is? Mm-hmm. What a great answer by you, as someone who works with animals. I think I would probably lean Ron if you're asking me.
You seem Ron, like a Ron.
Ron's got a big heart. He's got a big heart. So we are looking forward to chatting with you today. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It's been observed in the United States since 1949, reaching millions of people in the U.S. through media, local events, and screenings. And your organization, Soul Equine, kind of connects with that. And let's just start there and talk to us about kind of what you do and how that may relate to Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah. Okay. So Soul Equine is the name of my coaching practice. I'm a holistic life coach specializing in nature and equine guided learning. So I like to sort of explain that as I take people through experiences in nature and with horses to sort of guide them back to their intuition, sort of like the lost art of intuition amongst humans. And that definitely relates to mental health awareness because, well, first of all, lots of mental health professionals are working with people like me. Mm-hmm. They've found amazing results using horses, honestly, in an environment where maybe somebody has like PTSD or anxiety or depression. I mean, honestly, the list goes on. I'm not personally a mental health professional, so I'm like not allowed to call myself a therapist, and therapy is not what I do. That being said, what I do is try to bring people to the present moment, back to their intuition, and because of that, that sort of battles depression and anxiety and all of these things. Like, I don't even know if you've ever heard this, but like a lot of people describe it as depression is living in the past, anxiety is living in the future. So horses make us live in the present. Hmm. Like that's sort of where happiness resides, is like right now.
Mm-hmm. Very awesome. I was looking on your website, and for anyone who wants to check it out, soulequine.org, Audrey joining us, and you have a quote in there, "Horses don't give us wisdom. They help us to connect with the wisdom we already possess." And mm-hmm. I'm just kind of interested how this whole approach got into your brain. Is that
totally
a good, okay way to say that?
Yeah.
How did you come about to kind of getting to this level of in your thought process and now your profession?
Yeah. So my sort of personal journey was like, I loved horses. It's sort of how it started. I didn't grow up with horses, and I didn't ever imagine that I would be working with them in the future. But I sort of stumbled upon, I think, like an article in a magazine like back in the day that was like equine therapy. And I was like, what is that? You know? Mm-hmm. And the more I read about it and realized that it was helping people, it wasn't like therapy for horses. It was therapy for people like with horses. Something about that was just like, yes, like that makes a lot of sense to me. And I don't know why. So I ended up going to school and getting certified in equine guided learning, which is sort of what led me to finally buying my very first horse. But that being said, like having my first horse and having to learn about horses for the first time and like living with horses and caring for them and developing like relationship and communication with them, I sort of went through my own personal transformation and realized like my life was getting better. Mm-hmm. And I also kind of started to notice how much or how little awareness of the present moment or like how little we are in tune with our sort of like animal instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, I was like, whoa, I really need to sort of fine tune these things if I want to communicate with my horses. Mm. And so I went through this like huge transformation of just finding so much more peace and happiness in my life. And I was like, okay, yes, like this is something I want to bring to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yeah, well said. Isn't that amazing with animals? Because you see it with dogs, people who own dogs all the time.
Exactly.
That animal therapy. I wonder why that is, or from your personal experience, why humans feed off of the animal, animals, whether it's pets or in your case, horses.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
Well, okay. I actually have like a 2-part answer, I think. So animals in general don't live inside their thinking. They don't really have like that. We live inside like language. Our sort of mm-hmm. neocortex is what rules us, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like thinking, logic. Every other animal species on Earth is living in their like emotional brain. So that's like what instinct sort of means. It's like they are responding to the environment. They're not thinking about it.
Right.
So with horses specifically, they've sort of evolved over all these years to become this really sensitive prey species, which means like when you're a prey animal, you need to be very sensitive to stay alive, essentially,
mm-hmm.
right? So they sort of act as reflectors of their environment in a way because they're so heightened. Their awareness of emotions and energy and environment are so heightened to keep them alive that they sort of reflect that back at us. So like an example I like to give is if a horse herd were at a watering hole in the wild and a tiger approached and he was really just there to drink from the watering hole, the horses could literally pick up on that energy and they wouldn't run away.
Wow.
But if the tiger's there like with the intention of hunting and just acting like he's there to drink from the watering hole, horses are in tune enough to sense that difference and take off. So that's like a very, very sensitive awareness that it's mm-hmm. hard for us humans to even like relate to at this
right,
point.
Right.
So when you get people with horses, you know, talking about like mental health and therapy and all of these things, I like to say like a horse is a mirror that can't lie to you. Hmm. So there's something really powerful about having a non-judgmental creature that's always honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like specifically horses rather than other animals are so large that we're kind of forced to be aware and present in the moment because of our safety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like 1,000-pound or like 1,500-pound animal could easily accidentally hurt you or kill you, right? So when you get people near horses, all of a sudden they're like, oh, like, you know, what am I doing? Where am I standing? Where am I? Like, where's the horse? And so all of those things sort of equate to like being present.
And then you get on top of a horse and then you're really, really kind of locked
really,
into what's going on around
yeah, absolutely.
You.
You're really trusting that relationship.
Yeah. I rode wild horses in Mexico before. Well, not completely wild, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's unlikely.
Wait. Let me back that up. We actually bumped into a couple wild horses, which
cool.
is probably why that thought process came into my mind. we rode horses in Mexico with a guide, kind of up through some mountainous areas. It was really, really awesome. And then we bumped into a couple wild horses who actually like tried to, I don't know if they completely tried to attack us, but they were getting a little bit aggressive. But anyways, it was an amazing experience. Yeah. And that's a really good point about how when you have a 1,500-pound animal right in front of you, your senses heighten.
Yes.
And, which sounds obvious, but you don't really think about it, but it's totally true. And then when you get on top of a horse, your mindset completely changes.
You're giving sort of that physical control totally over to them. Yeah, and I think, like, of course, having other animals around you. Like, I have other pets, and there's definitely therapeutic benefits from that.
Mm-hmm.
Own relationship. But that being said, like, we're not, I think we seek comfort from dogs, whereas that's not necessarily what you're doing with a horse. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
So this is Audrey Daniels, soulequine.org. You can check out her website. We will talk to her a bit as well about a workshop that she has coming up May 25th through the 26th. And all the details are on her website if you want to check it out, soulequine.org. She's also on Instagram and Facebook as well. Before we get into just kind of the nitty-gritty details of the workshop, I'm curious, kind of as someone who seems pretty well connected with the present, if that's a good way to say it, through your work, how do you feel about where we are as a society right now with smartphones? And we were talking before the air, I think it's kind of an important conversation to have, because a lot of people my age, I'm 26, a lot of people my age or even younger actually really are on iPads and smartphones all the time.
I mean, it's our whole life.
It is. And, you know, you go over to Asia and it's everywhere over there. And I mean, just all over the world.
Yeah.
How do you feel about kind of where we are as a society? Is that too heavy of a question?
It's not heavy. It's a loaded question. I mean, like, sure, on one hand, like, I have an iPhone and I'm like checking my email all day.
Mm-hmm.
I think the benefit for me living out on a farm is that, and having animals to take care of and having like reasons to be outside, is that I have a little bit more of a constant reminder to like set the phone down, or even like a need to.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that's not the case anymore for like 90% of the population. And I do think that is genuinely affecting our mental and emotional health. I think like being pulled into a device that is actually encouraging you to stay in your head and to stay thinking and thinking about the future and thinking about like what's coming up next is ultimately training you to not be present. Mm-hmm. And so obviously my whole thing here is like, how do we get back to how we evolved as animals? I mean, we are animals. Like, we evolved to be just as in tune as horses are.
Mm-hmm.
So we've lost touch with that, and I don't think it's impossible to come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think we're going to have more challenges because of how we've sort of, as a society, developed like dependence on all of these devices and screens and things taking us away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's exactly why I'm doing these workshops. I'm like, please just come, like, see what it feels like to just connect for a minute, you know, like, feel present, like, notice your surroundings. Like, how often do we walk around and we, like, don't even look up?
Yeah.
And it's like, do you know what's happening around you?
Like,
have you noticed your environment recently?
Right.
Yeah, so it is, it's a slow, you know, you have to practice it.
Mm-hmm. And living in nature can definitely do that, or just being out in nature, like you were saying. So 2-day workshop, May 25th and the 26th. Talk to us a bit kind of about what someone could expect if they were to attend your workshop.
Okay, so I developed this workshop series based around the seasons because living with animals made me realize that seasons are actually really important, and I feel like it's something we don't... You know, we think about seasons like, I can't wait for summer so I can go to the beach. But that being said, like, seasons are sort of the Earth's way of showing you, like, how to change cycles and rhythms in your life, you know? Mm-hmm. So, for instance, like a horse doesn't watch a clock. They don't care about time in that way. But they are paying attention to the season, and they know, like, when it's time to get more sleep, when it's time to eat more or less. What are the seasons that we get more activity? What seasons do we, like, calm down and kind of become a little bit more, like, internal? Mm-hmm. So that's a part of it. It's like we've lost touch with paying attention to those things. So I thought it would be cool to do this workshop series that was like, hey, let's come get out in nature. And let's also talk about, like, what season is it right now? How is that informing us about how we should be living? Mm. So this season is sort of a combined, we're doing like spring and summer, which is why it's a 2-day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is that I'm bringing in like a combination of holistic wellness professionals. So we're going to be coming at it from like several different angles. Mm. Like I have my angle, which is sort of like nature guided learning, but I have other collaborators who are bringing in different elements of holistic living. And we're all sort of coming back to this foundation of like the season. Mm-hmm. So do you want me to go into like who the collaborators are,
sure,
what they do? Okay.
Yeah.
So Valerie Noel of The Eternal Child is sort of who I've been hosting these workshops with. She's sort of like our art director / curator of the event. Hmm. And then we bring in teachers. So we have Kit McDaniel, and she's a movement strategist. So she's focusing on like how to keep your body healthy during the season. And then Brittany Kessler is an acupuncturist. And she's going to focus sort of on like how to stay healthy through the lens of what Chinese medicine says to do during the season. Brianna Sass of Elixir Field Wellness is a sound healer. So she's going to be doing like a sound bath and talking about those seasonal things. And we have Brianna Thornton from Aesthete Tea. So she's a local tea maker. And we're going to be doing like seasonal tea combinations, like what teas support you through this specific season. And then like to top it all off, we have a local plant-based chef. His name is Sean Sigman. His company is called Folklore PDX. And so he's going to be preparing like a really amazing seasonal meal for everyone to like see, like, you know, what might you eat more of during this season rather than like what you were eating in winter, things like that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us what the meal is?
No,
or is that a surprise?
I'm not going to give that away.
Is that okay?
But that being said, it's like a pretty incredible. He cooks over open live fire during the workshop. So you're like seeing the preparation of this food. And then we have this sort of like family meal together. Mm. And so that experience alone, honestly, is its own incredible thing.
It's like a farm luau situation.
Totally.
Right? Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, cool. It is.
So I guess people would be, what does the participation look like? So you mentioned the different people who you work with, the different professionals that you bring in. What would a day schedule look like? I think,
the
schedule, I think it's 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the 25th.
And then it's like 11
to 4 on the 26th.
So basically we want it to feel like you have a chance to unplug and unwind. It's not going to be like a lecture, or we're not going to be like rushing through things. It's more about experiential learning, or having these experiences that you kind of like take something away from. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do all sorts of activities, anything from something mindful in nature to like a creative activity where they're just being, you know, creative and expressive, to like a body movement activity where they're like learning things that they could do at home.
Like yoga kind of?
No, not like you're showing up to do a yoga class, but more like here maybe areas of your body you can focus on this during the season, and here are like small things you can be do to keeping it healthy. Mm. I don't want to like give all the things away, but you know what
I mean.
Can't
give all the secrets away. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's essentially, we want everyone to have like take home tools and like a new perspective about the season. Mm. So like, how can you go home and start implementing a little bit of this wisdom into your daily life in a really easy way?
Mm. Excellent. SoulEquine.org. Audrey Daniel joining us this workshop May 25th through the 26th out in Forest Grove. Mm-hmm. And is that your farm?
It's my farm.
Wow.
It's cool. 45 minutes outside the city. It's really easy to get there. And yeah, it's where I live.
Awesome. And people register through your website?
Yes.
Okay.
So if they go to soulequine.org/workshops, they'll see all of our events and they'll be able to register there.
Okay, cool. And just to spell that out, SoulEquine.org. So soul and then EQUINE .org. And I think you had mentioned that there might be specials if you buy with two or three.
So it's $295 for both days for an individual, but we're offering $150 off if you buy two tickets with a friend.
Okay.
Because I've often found that people just want to bring a friend to a workshop.
Totally.
So it's fun that way.
So is there going to be some horse riding?
No, well? Absolutely not.
No horse riding.
So I guess I should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
First of all, no horse experience is ever required with anything that I do. Even if you're afraid of horses, you can come.
Okay.
Like, you will not be in a situation that will make you feel uncomfortable.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, you know, we don't want to give away everything, but mm-hmm. I guess what I would be curious in before I sign up is like, what does the horse involvement look like? You know?
Yeah. The horse involvement looks like integrating into a herd.
Okay.
And learning or noticing if you can be a part of the herd rather than sitting there thinking about things or having expectations or trying to pet them or do all the actions that we like to hide behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really getting a sense of what it feels like to be a horse and to be present.
Okay. And how long have you been doing the workshop?
Well, we started the workshop in the fall. Like this seasonal series started in October.
Okay. What are the differences in seasons and how that, you know, kind of works with our mental health?
Well,
I guess as it relates to your style of practice.
There's so many. I mean, I'm trying to think back. So the fall, you know, like the fall was all about letting go, like what no longer serves you, like the mm-hmm. leaves are falling from the trees, right? Things are decomposing, like animals are starting to slow down, wind down. So we're looking at what is happening in nature and like how does that apply to us? Like we're starting to get more sleep or we should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving into winter was a little bit more, even more sort of about like death and sort of, you know, what does it mean that things are dying and decomposing, but ultimately the reason for that is because it's going to bring so much more energy to like spring bloom,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like things get quieter, things get still. So like maybe we should be quieter, maybe we should be more still. It's like more a season of like internal health and like taking time to meditate or to, you know, to be mindful. And then now all of a sudden we're moving into this like very different vibe of, you know, everyone. I mean, you and I know, like, everyone is outside. Like,
oh, in Portland,
flowers are blooming.
The second it's 60 degrees and sunny, we are in board shorts and a tank top.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, that can be, you know, so important in the Pacific Northwest. I think, like, especially moving to the Pacific Northwest, I've realized how intense people get about the summer because they've just been waiting so long to have this weather. And then it arrives and we spend the whole time like frantically busy because we're like cramming it all in, like it's gonna be gone soon, you know?
Yeah.
And so like there is, you know, there's a teaching in that too that is gonna be a part of the workshop, which is like, yes, but if you spend all your time like worrying about when the summer is going to run out, you're sort of missing out on the beauty of what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. So like it's a little balance there, you know, like appreciating the differences in every season. Like there's not a bad season and a good season, mm-hmm. right? It's like one big cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not the biggest yoga person. I mean, I enjoy it. I should say I enjoy it. I just haven't done a ton of it.
Yeah.
But this, you know, kind of your mindset and this horse therapy, if you will, strikes me as very similar to yoga practices.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like, if you think about it, any sort of meditative or mindful practice is just about becoming more aware of your of now.
Uh-huh.
Right? So like they all kind of are pointing toward the same thing. They're just coming at it from different angles. That's how I see it.
Well, listen, I think a lot of people would enjoy listening to you and your expertise in that field. And especially it's kind of an interesting twist with using animals, but it makes sense for the way you explained it. So thanks for being here. And again, I guess one more time for where people can register, soulequine.org.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Go on there. Anything else you'd like to share today?
No, that's it. I just hope to see people there.
Awesome. Okay. Well, good luck with the event. I'm sure the weather, fingers crossed, will be fantastic for you.
Yeah, totally.
As it's been for basically this entire month, it feels like.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
So cool. All right. Well, thanks for being here. Thank you so much. We were talking today with Audrey Daniel of Soul Equine. Metroscope is an Entercom Portland public affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. If you're involved with a nonprofit or public affairs organization, or if you have an idea for an upcoming show, I'd like to hear from you. Visit metroscopepdx.com and submit your ideas. You can also go to this station's website and submit your information there. Thanks for listening to Metroscope and enjoy the rest of your weekend.